Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend show, what you can expect is initially a bit of a recap of some of the economic data and market moves we've seen in the near term. And then we're going to be shifting our focus a little bit more to the commodities sector, touching on precious metals, but then also looking at a couple other commodities and resources that have a bit more going for them. So as promised, we're starting off with a quick recap of economic data and market moves as we are chatting with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief over at The Money Show. Now, Mike, just a general comment on the recent economic data that has come out of the U.S. It's broadly better than expectations. We saw jobless claims this week, as well as a revision to GDP, as well as inflation data. Almost across the board, we are seeing just better than expected U.S. data. What's been your takeaway from this recent data here, Mike?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I think I headlined a recent piece, recession, what recession, question mark, after looking at the last round of data. I mean, it's been pretty comprehensive because it's not just a few things here and there. It's the claims data. It's the housing data, surprisingly enough, with interest rates where they are. It's been some of the business investment figures there and durable goods and so on. And all of it points to an economy that, despite a very rapid, very extensive series of Fed interest rate hikes, seems to be trying to find its footing again here, after that period of struggling late in 2022 and early 2023. You look at what markets are telling you and you see the short end of the yield curve. You see two-year treasuries and other sort of indicators of that are most closely tied to expectations about Fed policy. Those yields are spiking quite a bit, especially this week. So it's definitely putting the Fed back in play. I mean, if you went back and look at what the Fed said after their big June pause, they didn't really take themselves out of play. It was more the market expecting and hoping, oh, okay, this pause is not just going to be one meeting, it's going to be for several. But Jerome Powell made clear this week that no, that's not the case. Most of the Fed is still on board for at least a couple more hikes this year, which matches what we saw in the dot plot. So sum it all up, it's definitely, again, an economy that's getting, that is coming in hotter than expected in terms of the data. And you're seeing the market price that in by the sector, some of the more economically sensitive stuff rising. I mean, it's been a tech-led stock market for the first 4 or 5 months of 2023, but now you're really seeing some of the more economically sensitive things, small caps, transports, even housing and real estate, that's picked up. So the market character has been changing to reflect the fact that maybe we're not going to have a recession after all, and maybe the Fed's not off the table.
Yeah, Mike, it was interesting that you called this market pretty well as far as last year and even in late 2021. You were talking about being boring and being in safe defensive instruments, and then you shifted coming into this year to be bold and to get into some of these growth tech areas or areas that were maybe beat up and had stopped bottoming after decreasing by 60-80% and then showing a little life. We've even seen that in the cryptoverse. We've seen that in a lot of the sectors, as you mentioned, the small caps that hadn't started moving. Is that still the way you see things playing out for the balance of this year, to stay with the be bold theme?
Yeah. Here's the way I kind of see that big picture thinking there. You're absolutely right. I was very defensive for a year and a half leading into the end of 2022, but I saw a lot of things that made me recommend, look, if you're an investor, you've been hiding in utilities, defensives, things like that. Now it's time to go a little more on the offense because, the next 12 to 18 months are probably going to look better for the market. We've seen that, which is gratifying. I will say, I tend to think that you want to stick with that plan, and I'll explain why. We had a tech-driven rally rally for the first 4 or 5 months of this year that in a lot of other sectors were just kind of sitting there like bumps on the log. They weren't keeping up. So, you know, that raised legitimate questions about breadth and what might happen. And there was really two scenarios I think could have played out. Either tech was going to catch down to the rest of the market that was lagging, or the rest of the market was going to catch up to what tech was doing. Or in other words, you'd see tech take a breather and all this other stuff that had been left behind start to catch up and rally next, which would help broaden out the market advance and keep it healthy. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing. You know, of those two scenarios, the more optimistic is the catch-up scenario. And I think that's what you're seeing happen now. I don't think it means the Russell 2000 is going to rally 30% or whatever the way the NASDAQ had, but I do think what you're going to see and what you're starting to see is tech takes a breather, tech sort of goes sideways, maybe loses a few percentage points, essentially chops while the other parts of the market catch up. And that for the second half of the year, I'm really on board with that line of thinking. And I think that's going to pay off for investors who don't just hide in tech. And not that there's anything wrong with tech in general, but, you know, look into some of those other sectors. I mean, if the economy is truly going to avoid recession and the Fed, to my legitimate surprise, might pull off the whole soft landing or whatever you want to call it scenario, then you're going to see that other stuff do well. So you want to make sure your portfolio isn't just all, you know, the top 5 or 10 names in tech that we all know and love. It's also things in economically sensitive sectors, you know, again, materials, industrials, small caps, you know, transports, things that are more tied to economic growth. So sum it up, yeah, I would still say be bold is exactly what you want to be.
So regarding timing of this wider breadth move for the markets, I read a couple articles of people saying that this could very well just be end of the month, end of the quarter, end of the first half of the year window dressing for fund managers spreading out some of their portfolios for that beginning of the second half. Is this at play at all, Mike, in your eyes?
You know, when you look at the way big money is run, I mean, absolutely, if you're a fund manager that because of the advance in tech, the market cap growth we've seen, just the, you know, the amount of money plowing into that sector and driving everything up, you're absolutely going to be saying, look, I got to rebalance some of this stuff. I got to take some of that off the table, and I got to put money into some of these other things that haven't done as much, just because if I want to match the market or roughly match the market or just make sure I don't have too many chips on one bet, that's what's going to happen. But I think that, you know, if it was just being done for purely technical reasons, end of quarter, end of half year, rebalancing, that's one thing. But if it's being done and this nascent move is going to turn into something else because the data supports it, then you've got a much more optimistic scenario, right? Then you've got a situation where this doesn't just happen for a few days at the end of the quarter. It's something that people can say, oh, you know what? I'm not just moving money around a little bit because I'm overweighted in tech. I'm moving money around because some of this other stuff is going to have better earnings performance going forward, better revenue outlook and so on. So I think that's probably what you see happen as we get further into the year. More money doesn't just rotate for technical reasons. It rotates for economic and data-driven reasons.
What does this mean for the safe havens then, Mike? Gold, even the U.S. dollar, bonds, as interest rates remain high. How do these fare in this, what sounds like, better market environment?
You know, I still obviously have been bullish on gold and waiting for that breakout, which we did not see, unfortunately. You know, that I think there's been one market I've been more wrong on. It's been that. Fortunately, it hasn't hurt me all that much. It's just been going mostly sideways and not breaking out as opposed to breaking down. You're starting to see in the last month, because the news is getting better, a couple more, if that, Fed hikes are being talked about, priced in the markets. And that's obviously taking some of the wind out of the sails of the gold market. But I do not think we're going to be back in a situation like we were in 2022, where the dollar was ripping every day, where gold was, you know, just being pressured relentlessly by a rising dollar and expectations the Fed was going to be hiking from here to kingdom come. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the dollar index, I mean, you know, the dollar index topped out last fall, you know, October, November timeframe. And even with the recent uptick in interest rates, and even with the, you know, sort of expectations the economy is not in as bad shape as possible, it's like the dollar is flying, right? So I don't think gold really hurts you. I think that we do need to get to the point where the market is convinced now the Fed is really done. And once that comes into play, that's where I think things like gold are gonna take over.
All right. Really do appreciate you taking some time chatting with us and, well, sharing your outlook, which has played these markets and turned with the markets almost perfectly. Thanks, as always, for your time, Mike. We'll chat again in a few weeks.
Sounds good, Corey. Take care.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. For the rest of the weekend edition, we are going to switch our focus a bit more to the resource sector. Starting off with Joe Mazumdar, editor of Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, it's been a while since we had you back on the show, and
Look, we've talked week after week about just how rough these resource markets are in a number of sectors for a lot of the companies. The companies continue to sell off while a lot of the metals prices are holding up relatively well. We want to talk to you a bit more about what majors are looking for. So some of the major miners looking at any development stage companies or even some of the junior explorers, tying that in somewhat with M&A, because quite frankly, the whole mergers and acquisitions within the resource sector have been largely focused within the majors. Majors combining with other majors, it is not going down the food chain that much, or even when they have gone down the food chain, the acquisitions just have not been that exciting. They haven't come at huge premiums. Really, the last major winner seemed to be Great Bear. Unfortunately, that almost marked the top of the last run for the stocks. Joe, how do you see this environment right now? With majors potentially looking to start acquiring companies, do you think that could pick up anytime soon?
Well, I guess it, thanks for the invite, but I would say it depends on the sector. Like we have seen M&A, I think you were referring to in the gold sector, where we had, B2 Gold acquiring Sabina. And I think that was encouraging to see a single asset developer being acquired. And I think the idea there was that B2 Gold saw an opportunity of an undervalued single asset developer who had the permit, who had done a lot of work on the project. You know, they found the numbers to be reasonable. And they had a comparative advantage, they thought, because they worked in the Arctic before, so they bring that experience with them. They're not learning how to operate in the Arctic. The project's still not easy with respect to where it's located, but that's encouraging to see that kind of M&A. Most of the M&A, especially in the precious metal sector, as you said, have been more for production, whether it's Newmont and Newcrest. In terms of trying to compete against the global equity ETFs, but still offer a dividend. That's probably what's driving that acquisition. But also Newmont ends up getting a lot more copper exposure, Australian dollar exposure, and importantly, a new mining technique that they, not a new mining technique, but a mining technique that's been being applied more to certain deposits with less environmental footprint, like block caving that Newcrest is really good at. And Newmont probably less so, and potentially that can apply to some of their assets. So we're seeing a lot more of that in the gold sector, but potentially from Barrick's point of view, that they're interested in M&A, but they're almost looking more at in the copper space. So the last sort of swipe they made was for First Quantum, a copper company with assets in Africa and other sort of geopolitically risky places like Panama. So, yeah, the gold sector, depending on the company, is branching out into different things. What would be encouraging from a gold investor perspective is to see more M&A of the single asset developers. But we are seeing, equity private placements, especially Newcrest is very, very active in that. So that's encouraging. But I think right now companies or investors are looking for companies with access to capital. In this kind of environment that can maintain their share structure and still generate catalysts. That is different in the critical mineral sector, especially for lithium, where I was just recently at a conference where the valuations are much more, let's say, frothy.
Well, Joe, just maybe sticking with the precious metal side first, and then we can dive into lithium and even the base metal side of it. In the gold space, we have seen a lot of the big boys taking over big boys, as Corey mentioned, when you think of the Newcrests and the Newmonts, but also Yamana getting carved up by Agnico, Eagle, and Pan American. And we have seen some other single asset companies like Sabina taken over, like Gold Standard Ventures, but they were at not great prices for those companies. Same kind of thing with Alexco, where Hecla took over Alexco and then made a move on Attack Resources next door in the Yukon, kind of moving into assets that were stranded. And so a lot of investors that are sitting in these companies waiting for the takeover and seeing them get taken over near their lows don't come away feeling really rosy about the sector. It's not the same kind of experience as a Great Bear takeover. And when we talk to development companies, Joe, there's a couple dozen that have 1 million, 2 million, 3 million ounces whose strategy is to wait to get taken over. The problem is a lot of the big majors will move on those when they're distressed. So how do retail investors win in that kind of environment?
Well, that's difficult. The thing is that you need that option in your management team that they could build it themselves, that they not only have the technical capacity to build it, but they also have the access to capital to put it into production. So that's why you'll probably see a lot more private equity work in trying to take some of these assets private if the market gets worse and hold them for longer and build them under a private company that has no exposure to the public market and to that near-term volatility. So that would probably be a good mark of a bottom to see that. But I know that, you know, so a lot of these juniors are thinking like that, that, you know, as opposed to selling at a, you know, 15 to 20% premium to my 52-week low, why don't I, you know, just, you know, cut my G&A, don't do anything, and just sit here for a year or two, wait for the market to rebound, because there's no point in, you know, giving up right now. But some of these guys think, well, yeah, I'll give up right now, you know, switch, and then go into another sector which has more access to capital, like lithium or something like that. So, you know, to each his own on that part. What I find in the Canadian sector, more management teams are aligned with exploration and don't convert or transition, let's say, to development and production as easily as your Australian listed companies, who tend to have more of a technical capacity to take things into production than the Canadian juniors that want to get taken over early. So I think those sort of companies might have a better way of trying to ride this out and then come into the other side of this in production, which might garner a better premium once the market turns and maybe there's more M&A, because the M&A will probably start with these things that are already single asset producers in production rather than waiting for a permit yet to be tested.
Yeah, that's so true, Joe. And it's actually what we've seen now over the last decade plus, is a lot of the takeovers have been more of these development stage companies, even some early stage producers, not so much the exploration companies outside, of course, of Great Bear. But that was a standout, and that also, again, kind of marked the top of the market for the last bull run, at least for the stocks. But boy, oh boy, I know we're all looking at our portfolios right now, especially if you hold the juniors, and probably seeing a lot of depressed share prices. But, you know, some of the mid-tiers are still doing okay, and cash is still very, very important for all of these companies. Joe, we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Joe Mazzucca.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Millions of Americans still trying to get to their 4th of July destinations by car and by plane. Air travel way more difficult with so many delays. The airlines playing catch-up from cancellations earlier in the week due to bad weather in some states and staffing shortages. Best to check FlightAware. To Paris, where there's been another night of unrest, USA's Rich Johnson is there.
Nearly 1,000 people were arrested Friday night and into Saturday morning here in Paris, burning cars and buses, destroyed shops. This was the fourth night of violence over the fatal shooting of a 17-year-old by police. He was trying to drive away from officers in Paris. I'm Rich Johnson.
Big layoffs at ESPN.
Almost two dozen on-air reporters and personalities are out at ESPN. Some of the names, Jeff Van Gundy, Max Kellerman, Susie Colber, and Ashley Brewer.
That's USA's Dave Collins reporting. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Joe Mazumdar, editor of Exploration Insights, and we are continuing to really focus on the resource sector broadly, but also in terms of M&A potential, majors, even mid-tiers, looking further down the food chain to provide some of us investors with maybe some quick gains here. So, Joe, everyone points back to that 2011 time frame, give or take a year or two, when there was more M&A, and the majors were taking over assets. And unfortunately, they had to write a lot of those down or completely off of their books. However, they do still own some of these assets. And with everybody, and as you said, the model in Canada, Vancouver especially, is be an exploration company. Try to make those big discoveries and then someone will buy you out. Is that a broken model right now simply because these majors, look, it's not like we need to produce double or triple the amount of gold in the world. Plus, these majors, they do have these other assets that seem like they made money a decade plus ago. So why would they rush down into these explorers?
Yeah, I think, you know, not only explorers, but the development project, because all the M&A gives you a bigger portfolio of assets. And then what, you know, the merger allows you to do is maybe potentially more efficiently allocate your capital. So, you know, with the Newcrest-Newmont merger, you know, Newmont has decided to defer the Yanacocha Sulfides project again, suggesting that they might have other opportunities to invest that capital in some of the assets that they're acquiring from Newcrest. And also, you know, given the, you know, the instability of the political environment in Peru. But you're absolutely right, is what people don't consider is the expansion capacity of some of these bigger mines to keep going. But if they want growth, then a lot of these people's, a lot of these companies' pipelines are bare. They don't have a lot of projects. They don't do a lot of exploration. And so there is that necessity to not only find projects, but find quality projects that might replace something already in their portfolio. And so that's, you know, hopefully what they're thinking is that, you know, even though the market is not great, mostly for equity, if I'm still generating cash flow right now and I'm looking for a development play or, you know, something like that, this is the time to make a move because they're trading at very low valuations and it could be accretive to me. You know, especially if the assets are in a jurisdiction that they're already working, they're close to an active plant. You know, those sort of M&A would be probably the first thing you would see. Greenfield projects in a country that people haven't worked in before, maybe a bit riskier right now, given all the incidents we've had. You know, we had a war in Sudan. We had another war in Ethiopia, the Tigray region, geopolitical crisis in Peru, changes in tax policy and potential nationalization of lithium in Chile, new mining reforms in Mexico with nationalization of lithium being proposed there as well. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening in countries that have a significant, that produce a lot of metal. And so that's another thing that, you know, suitors have to think about in the precious metal sector. Where can they work? And we also got to realize with all that consolidation, there's less suitors out there to actually do the acquiring.
Are there any area plays, Joe, that you think are garnering a bit more attention that could see some more money or some more major showing interest in when it comes to, let's say, precious metals, gold and silver?
Yeah, with all the geopolitical risks that we're seeing in Peru and Chile, you know, if you're there, you're there. But, you know, for people new to come into some of these countries, it'll be more difficult because they have to raise market in the public forum. And it might be more difficult to do, especially in Mexico right now for a grassroots explorer that has no ground. Impossible, I would say. So that pushes people to jurisdictions like more people probably going to Nevada, to Idaho, Oregon, to British Columbia, back into Ontario and to Quebec. So we might see a lot more of that. And, you know, once you're back in Canada, the access to capital is perennial with flow through and charity flow through. You know, your ability to access capital, especially now for critical minerals, is pretty good. Even though maybe the retail sector is not interested, there's still a lot of people that are interested in the tax incentive.
Joe, another thing you had mentioned in the mergers and M&A that some of the gold companies are actually picking up more copper exposure. We saw a big trend a couple of years ago of silver companies wanting more gold exposure, and we do seem to see more large gold companies wanting more copper exposure. Does that tell you anything about kind of the sentiment in the precious metals, or is it just a move to diversify the cycles as these are longer life mines?
Yeah, I would say it was probably more so related to, you know, you can only grow so much in a certain sector. So the silver companies, you know, there's less silver deposits out there. So then they start talking about silver equivalency. And, you know, a lot of it's base metal, some of it's gold. And then in terms to keep the precious metal multiple, whatever that happens to be, which is a discount right now, you know, the only way to get it is to stay in gold. And that's where the growth was. I mean, that wasn't a great foray for somebody like First Majestic when they went into Jerritt Canyon in Nevada. Doesn't always work out. But the same sort of thing from a big gold company's perspective, that it's harder to make an accretive gold acquisition that actually has an impact on your bottom line as deposits. The big deposits, there's fewer and fewer. And so, you know, you can only acquire more companies, but then after you make that acquisition, the bottom line is that you need even more of an asset to come in to make a dent on your bottom line. And so you move to copper, which the deposits are even bigger. So, you know, that's sort of like, what Bear is thinking about right now. They like copper in terms of the fundamentals, but also they see the growth and the ability to have a bigger impact on their bottom line with a big porphyry copper deposit.
So do you think broadly that the gold and silver sector are in a little bit more trouble than maybe some of the gold bugs want to admit, from the aspect that we are seeing some of the majors shift a little bit of focus away from the precious metals, the stocks, or at least looking at the ETFs, when they have made a run higher along with gold, they've actually topped out at lower levels over the past about 14 years now. And quite frankly, there are just other options for investors that the underlying gold stocks just have a tougher ability to find investors, especially new investors.
Well, you know, even though gold is, you know, it's not that low and it's held up pretty well, and we see, I mean, and because not of ETF inflows, but more so because of central bank purchases, that's holding up the gold price, which is still a positive. You know what? So we don't see investor interest in the actual commodity, because the U.S. Federal Reserve, you know, is continues to commit to more rate hikes, which are very visible but exist. So when real rates go up, gold price tends to get hit. But granted, it's not getting hit as much, but the equities, which are levered to that commodity, take a bigger hit. And that's what we're seeing. But problematically for the juniors and the developers, their access to capital from the retail side is much more difficult because they're not cash flowing. And that's really the problem part. Like, I believe up to the end of May, there were only $10 million worth of IPOs on the TSX Venture this year. You know, that goes for everything, oil and gas, you know, anything. But it sort of goes to show, you know, people's interest or lack of interest in high-risk capital ventures right now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Just been a tough environment, right? And we hear a lot of complaining from investors, also from CEOs, just saying it's a tougher environment out there. There just isn't the interest in the financing options, as we all know, have dried up. Now, obviously, that can all change, and it does change very quickly. Joe, it's great having you on the show. I want to bring you on much more regularly because we could keep talking for probably another hour, but I'm going to get you out of here. I do very much appreciate your time and your insight. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and hey, we'll have you back on the show here soon.
Great. Thank you very much, guys.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing our focus on the resource sector, we are now chatting with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, we're going to shift a little bit away from precious metals and talk about the nickel sector, because you sent us over a couple talking points here on some deals, some transactions that have happened in the nickel sector that helps, I think, in some investors put some value to some assets. And hey, deals in any commodities sector, in any sector broadly, are, I think, a positive. It frees up capital and it can help set values for other assets. Let's talk about this group called Appian Capital. Now, it's a group, I believe, based out of the UK. This group has made a couple deals recently, mostly in Brazil, selling some assets to a SPAC, ACG. Take us through a little background on some of these deals in Appian Capital, please.
That's right, and good to be with you, Corey and Chad, as always. I think this deal has gone a little bit under the radar, and I'll just say generally Appian is a private equity group based out of the UK, and they've made some pretty astute investments as of late in the resource space. The two assets that they sold to this SPAC, Santa Rita, which is a nickel and copper mine, as well as Serrote, which has gold and copper primarily, both were bought in the 2018 timeframe. And, you know, they're selling it to the SPAC for $1 billion in cash. So it's likely they've made at least a 10x on this investment in roughly a five-year time span. So it's a good win for Appian. They actually have some extra kickers that come from this deal as well. They retain a 2.75% royalty at Santa Rita. And I know for sure that that will have some value down the line. We'll see how long they decide to keep that before monetizing it. And then they also, interestingly, have a claim, likely in the amount of around $200 million, against Sibanye-Stillwater. Listeners may remember about a year ago, they actually announced a deal for Santa Rita and Serrote as well with Sibanye-Stillwater with a $1.2 million price tag. Sibanye pulled out of the deal subsequently due to a quote-unquote seismic event that occurred at Santa Rita. Of course, the two parties dispute whether that was materially enough to dissolve the transaction. So it's potentially an additional you know, up to an additional couple hundred million could be coming into the coffers of Appian. So a good deal for them. But I think there are implications for this deal, you know, beyond just Appian. Interestingly, coming into the SPAC, ACG are some major heavy hitters within the space. We have Glencore putting up $100 million out of the $1 billion that was raised to become the offtaker of choice for the Santa Rita nickel mine. And then PowerCo, which is Volkswagen's battery subsidiary, also put up $100 million for prepaid nickel offtake rights, also from Santa Rita. Stellantis put in $100 million as well. It's a little unclear how much nickel they're getting relative to Volkswagen, but it sounds like they will also be taking nickel directly from Santa Rita for their vehicles. So we've seen, you know, a major trading house and two major automakers come into this deal. And interestingly, I think this deal gives us a good look at what a offtake agreement at a, you know, late stage or producing nickel sulfide mine can look like. You know, between Glencore putting up $100 million and PowerCo putting up $100 million for their prepaid offtake rights, that's a $200 million price tag, basically, for Santa Rita's output. Maybe you could look at it more aggressively as $300 million, because Stellantis is putting in $100 million in equity. It's not clear how much nickel they'll be getting themselves, but we're talking around $200 or $300 million value for this near-term nickel supply. So I think that has a very interesting read-through for other late-stage nickel development projects that are out there. And as followers of the space know, late-stage nickel development assets are few and far in between. And of the ones that are out there, most already have offtakers locked in. You know, look at Tesla's deal with Talon Metals at Tamarack in Minnesota, or, you know, BHP owns 60% of Kabanga, so they have that wrapped up. And, you know, now Stellantis and Volkswagen and Glencore have come in for Santa Rita. It's interesting to look out there and see which nickel development plays don't have an offtake partner. One very topical piece of news, Centaurus Metals, also down in Brazil, they just got their offtake rights back from Vale, and they gave Vale a 1.2% royalty in exchange for their offtake rights back. Share price jumped, you know, 15% or so on the back of that news. And, you know, the size of Centaurus's Jaguar operation is around 20,000 tons per annum nickel sulfate and another 10,000 tons per annum mixed sulfide precipitate. For context, Santa Rita's production profile is around 20,000 tons per annum nickel. So you could argue Centaurus is, you know, 50% larger or so. Another name, and this is one that we do own in the MJG portfolio, is Sama Resources. They actually just came out with an updated resource yesterday, and they more than doubled their resource. Their previous PEA, just for context, again, with a resource less than half the size than it currently is, saw them producing 13,000 tons per annum nickel and 14,000 tons per annum of copper concentrate. So that's a little bit smaller than either Santa Rita or what Centaurus is envisioning. But we'll see. They have an updated PEA coming out at the end of the year. I think it's possible with this, you know, more than doubling of the resource, we'll see the throughput also expanded. So here are a couple, you know, names that come to mind, later stage sulfide development projects that don't yet have an offtaker with their hand up. And this could prove quite valuable for these companies because near-term nickel supply is clearly in demand.
Matt, I think you bring up some great points there as far as the nickel market. And a lot of the nickel that we saw going into production over the last decade was actually nickel laterites. But this nickel sulfide is obviously much more appropriate for the battery metals market and for the battery space. And speaking of Glencore and Sibanye, we just saw Glencore go in and take a strategic stake in Stillwater Critical Minerals for their nickel deposit right next to Sibanye in Montana, after Glencore had also taken out a strategic stake recently in Palladium One. So definitely Glencore is looking for nickel. And we've seen more and more interest in the space, but it's a small universe of stocks. And a lot of retail investors may not really be equipped to figure out, is this a good deposit? Is this something the majors will want? Is this something a battery company will partner with us for? Is this something a manufacturer of autos would want? How do you discern whether a nickel deposit is in fact the kind of deposit ahead of time before these deals are struck?
Sure. And just to add on to your point, Chad, also BHP is very honed in on the nickel space. You might have seen that they just announced, maybe this was last month, that their incubator program, which I think is quite innovative, I like what they're doing there, is their Explore Incubator program, is only accepting applicants focused on nickel or copper exploration, whereas their last cohort, you know, lithium and a whole host of other critical minerals were considered. They're being very explicit. They're only interested in nickel and copper at the moment. And then BHP as well, just earlier this week, this acquisition flew a little under the radar. They paid $10 million to an Aussie group called Ragnar Metals for a earlier stage Scandinavian-based nickel asset that BHP is now going to take forward on a 100% basis. And it's exploration stage. This is not a late-stage development project by any means. So it seems as if BHP is going to be exploring that one internally, which I found interesting. To your broader point, I mean, sulfides are very much in demand. And one of the other key reasons that wasn't mentioned is because of their CO2 emission profile. Again, it really depends if it's a higher grade or a lower grade sulfide. But for these higher grade sulfide projects compared to your average laterite, we're talking, 50% less CO2 emission per unit of nickel created. So that's of particular importance to certain end users, and we will see premiums paid for companies that can produce nickel with low CO2 profiles. And so that's another added benefit. To your point, will the project work? You have to look at the grade, of course, for sulfides. You have to look at the deposit type. You have to look at scale. If it's a BHP type group that you want to come in, there has to be that exploration potential. There has to be that, at least the potential for district scale projects should things go to plan. However, for a company that's more focused on securing near term nickel supply, they might be a little bit less interested in, how this asset's going to look in 40 years and more. Can we get nickel out of it in the next few years? And count on that, for 10 years or so.
All right. Well, Matt, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but everybody listening on the radio, be sure to come to our website or podcast as we do continue to chat with Matt Geiger for a good another 15 minutes. If you want to listen to that full interview? Just click on that weekend show posting. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. As always, please go back through our website and podcast, listen to those daily editorials and company updates throughout the week. We hope you all have a great rest of your weekend, a very happy long weekend. We'll see y'all next week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.